Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. On our 949th day together in the Word of God, we come to Lamentations chapter 4. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. What you've been teaching us in your Word has been powerful and helpful and challenging. Thank you for what you've been teaching us through Lamentations, as it teaches us so much about how we are to face evil in the world and heartache in our lives. So continue to teach us as we look at Lamentations 4 today. Build us up in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lamentations 4. How the gold has grown dim. How the pure gold is changed. The holy stones lie scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, worth their weight in fine gold, how they are regarded as earthen pots, the work of a potter's hands. Even jackals offer the breast, they nurse their young, but the daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the nursing infant sticks to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The children beg for food, but no one gives to them. Those who once feasted on delicacies perish in the streets. Those who were brought up in purple embrace ash heaps. For the chastisement of the daughter of my people has been greater than the punishment of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment, and no hands were wrung for her. Her princes were purer than snow, whiter than milk. Their bodies were more ruddy than coral. The beauty of their form was like sapphire. Now their face is blacker than soot. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin has shriveled on their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Happier were the victims of the sword than the victims of hunger, who wasted away, pierced by lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of compassionate women have boiled their own children. They became their food during the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord gave full vent to his wrath. He poured out his hot anger, and he kindled a fire in Zion that consumed its foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor any of the inhabitants of the world, that foe or enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. This was for the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed in the midst of her the blood of the righteous. They wandered blind through the streets. They were so defiled with blood that no one was able to touch their garments. Away, unclean, the people cried at them. Away, away, do not touch. So they became fugitives and wanderers. People said among the nations, they shall stay with us no longer. The Lord himself has scattered them. He will regard them no more. No honor was shown to the priests, no favor to the elders. Our eyes failed, ever watching vainly for help. In our watching, we watched for a nation which could not save. They dogged our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end drew near. Our days were numbered. Our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles in the heavens. They chased us on the mountains. They lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the Lord's anointed, was captured in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow, we shall live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, those who dwell in the land of Uz. But to you also, the cup shall pass. You shall become drunk and strip yourself bare. The punishment of your iniquity, O daughter of Zion, is accomplished. He will keep you in exile no longer. But your iniquity, O daughter of Edom, he will punish. He will uncover your sins. So Lamentations 4, you may notice that unlike 1, 2, and 3, Lamentations 4 doesn't end with a prayer to God. But if you just peek down at the first line of chapter 5, which we'll get to tomorrow, it's because all of chapter 5 is the prayer that concludes not only chapter 4, but the entirety of this book. So having already confessed faith in the steadfast love of the Lord, having already confessed that his mercies are new every morning, having already realized that he does not afflict from the heart his children, we're still left with the painful reality of what's happening, what has happened and what is happening. So we go, the movement in Lamentations is you go from the stark reality of the circumstances, of the life experiences, of the feelings that that brings, and you're bringing them before God, and you're bringing them before God, and you're still focused on it, and then you have this epiphany, this central revelation that really comes in those middle verses, that middle section of chapter 3, about the steadfast love of the Lord and about the heart of the Lord. The heart of that section is that he does not afflict from the heart. It's about the heart of God and how this affliction doesn't really come from God's heart, but God's heart toward his people is steadfast love. But it does come from the character of God. It comes from his justice. It comes from his discipline. Well, then if you know the heart of God is for the good of his people, and you know that his steadfast love never ceases and his mercies are new every morning, then you're still left with the disconnect, the experiential, the existential disconnect between what you know of the character of God and his heart for his people and what you're seeing in the circumstances of his people. His people are changed, scattered, devastated, heartless. You know, it's gotten so bad that women are not even nursing their infants. The tongue of the nursing infant sticks to the roof of the mouth for thirst. That's a sign of utter degradation when mothers don't even care for their own children. We live in a society that is so degraded that millions of mothers have chosen death for their children rather than sacrifice their own convenience, their own happiness, their own security, their own reputation, whatever it is. Rather than sacrifice themselves for their children, millions of mothers have decided that it's better for their children to die. That is the reality of what's happening in Lamentations with Jerusalem. It's more outwardly brutal because it's born children who are being neglected. And then when they die from neglect, their mothers are eating them. And so it is really just shocking, the utter degradation of God's people. The best of the people, the most pure-skinned princes, right, who didn't go out into the sun. They were not common laborers. Now they're blacker than soot. They're not recognized in the street. Their skin has shriveled on the bones. It's just brutal, the reality. And sometimes, this is the way we process horrible things. Like, you know, the Holocaust or abortion or the cultural degradation of the sexual morass that has plagued our society for the previous generation or two, to, you know, disturbing images of warfare and devastation, famine. We say, these are your people. Right? God's people are not exempt from the suffering of war, of famine, of death, of personal conflict, of divorce, of sexual immorality, and the consequences it bears for people. Like, all of these things happen in God's people just as much as they happen to unbelievers. And so we can look at it, we can just say, this is devastating, this is hard. But that's not where it ends. Again, it's the relentless drive to go back to the Lord, to go back to the Lord, and to say, I will keep seeking the Lord, I will keep praying, I will keep remembering the truth of God's word. For Jeremiah, I'm going to keep remembering the prophecies that I myself prophesied. I'm going to go back to the word of God, and I'm going to keep working on this until I can see. And this is what he sees in verse 13. This was for the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed in the midst of her the blood of the righteous. You see, the greatest nobles and the most wealthy people absolutely degraded to the dust. Why? Because those are the very same people that had heard the word of the Lord through Jeremiah for years and who said, I don't want to hear it. You know, I'm going to rip this up and burn it. I'm going to throw him in a cistern, lock him in jail, get rid of this man. He's just a pest. They didn't want to hear the word of God. And so we have to say very often, not always, but very often, the disastrous consequences that come, even on God's people, come because we refuse to hear God's word. We run after idols of the world. We run after selfishness. We run after immorality. We give ourselves over to what we want. We want what we want, and we know God's word forbids it, but we go after it anyway, and we suffer disastrous consequences. And rather than blame God, we have to come back and say, you know what? This is something that we deserved. The Lord himself has scattered them. And so when judgment comes, we have to confess that the Lord is just. And he will be merciful. He will be merciful. But he is just. Now, the closing part of chapter 4 deals with Edom, verses 21 and 22. The Edomites are those who live to the south, southeast of Israel, of Judah, and they were the descendants of Esau, and they rejoiced greatly over the destruction that came upon Jerusalem and on Judah. And they mocked and they ridiculed. And Jeremiah basically says, your day's coming. Because you're sinful too. And this happens sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you've probably experienced when like a scandal breaks out in the church. You know, I'm sure if you've been a Christian for long, you've been around paying attention to the news or watching things, you've seen this happen. A scandal breaks in the church. A pastor has been unfaithful. A pastor has been embezzling money. A church leader has been found to be hypocritical. Whatever. The world mocks. And the world heaps scorn, even as God's people are grieved and brokenhearted and churches fall apart and ministries come crashing down. And there's a sense in which we have to say, you know what? We deserve this because we placed a man on a pedestal. We placed a man in a position of idolizing him. Never idolize any man, especially those who are arrogant, puffed up with pride, who boast of great things. We have this addiction to celebrity pastor culture in American evangelicalism. And the more people are sort of puffed out and strutting and sort of looking tough and, you know, we're just like, oh, they're so great. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. So often those people fall and they fall hard. And we've seen it happen again and again. And the world mocks and the world ridicules. And we have to say two things. We have to say, you know what? We should have known better. We shouldn't place people on pedestals. We shouldn't idolize men. And also, world, your time's coming. Because judgment begins with the household of God, but then it extends to everyone. So again, Lamentations is just teaching us to be, I would say, relentlessly God-centered, theologically grounded, and earnestly pursuing the Lord. Whenever we are suffering, whenever we are confused, whenever we are overwhelmed, whenever we are lamenting, it's teaching us how to do that. And know that this is what Jesus did as well. Jesus is the great lamenter over his people. He lamented over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. And he turned over the money changers' tables in the temple, and he drove out the animal sellers, and he said, My Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all nations, and you've made it into a den of robbers. And then for that, he was arrested. He was brutalized. And the night before, he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with his Father, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And why did he suffer so much? He suffered so much for our sins. It was deserved because of our sins, not because of his sins, but because of our sins. It was deserved, and so he accepted it as what was necessary to free us from our bondage to sin and death, to release us from our captivity to condemnation, and to bring us into justification and life. He accepted that. But he also looked at Jerusalem and he said, woe to you, daughters of Jerusalem, because you would not say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You would not receive your king. Destruction's coming. And this is really the message for the whole world. The whole world is being told, look, you may see God's people disciplined and chastised because we are still sinful, but we are his beloved people, and he's chastising us in order to purify us, in order to redeem us, in order to bring us back to him. And you need to repent because the day of judgment is coming where there will be no escape. And that's the reality. We're going to talk about that more in a couple of days when we get back to Revelation. But tomorrow we'll be going on to Lamentations 5. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to read about some of the realities of what happened in Jerusalem during the siege and the fall. It's hard to read about women eating their own children. It's disturbing. It's deeply disturbing. But there are other things in our culture that deeply disturb us, that are realities. And they're disturbing to your heart, O God, because you are holy and pure. And so we plead with you. Have mercy on us. Remember us, not according to our sins, but according to your steadfast love. We plead in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow, Lamentations 5 will close the book in prayer. Have a blessed day in the Lord.